I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, Metro Theater Company's production of Jackie and Me. Our guests will include a former Negro League baseball player and the granddaughter of Branch Rickey, who signed Jackie Robinson for the Dodgers in 1947. But first, notes from Hollywood. It's a concert at the Sheldon to benefit the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. It will feature Leonard Slatkin, currently music director of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, past director of the National Symphony, and before that, for 17 years, the St. Louis Symphony. Leonard Slatkin joins us on the phone from Rotterdam. Good morning, sir.
Good evening from here.
I was going to say, I'm not sure what time it is where you are.
We're about 7 hours ahead of you.
Wow. And you're conducting the Philharmonic?
The Rotterdam Philharmonic.
Has that happened yet, or...?
We had a show last night. It features Sylvie McNair doing some fantastic work with Gershwin songs. And the second half of the program is Johann Strauss, as we're still celebrating New Year's.
Ah, we know Sylvia. Great talent.
Of course we do.
Yeah. Well, here in the studio, the Chamber Music Society's president and artistic director, Mark Gordon, joins us as well. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be back. Hello, Leonard.
Hello, Mark.
And I understand, Mark, that you have said that this concert with Leonard Slatkin is stretching the concept of chamber music. What do you mean by that?
Well, it certainly is. We actually have probably the biggest stretch will be something that I know Leonard is anxious to talk about. Four songs that were recorded by the Hollywood String Quartet and Frank Sinatra. And we're going to do four of these songs from the Close to You CD that they collaborated on. So that will be a stretch. Plus, we'll be doing chamber music and movements of chamber music that were written by these Hollywood film composers with whom Leonard, of course, is very familiar.
Yeah, and that's the interesting story, Leonard. The Hollywood String Quartet, your dad was a conductor and a violinist.
Right.
And your mother was a cellist, I think.
That's correct. They formed one half of this legendary chamber music ensemble.
And it was through the Hollywood String Quartet, that a lot of the people, that, including Frank Sinatra and some of these other composers that we're going to talk about, you got to know at home.
Well, part of it had to do with the fact that my dad was also the concertmaster at 20th Century Fox, and my mother was the first cellist at Warner Brothers. In addition to that, they worked in the popular music industry, particularly at Capitol Records, but they also worked as a string quartet with the classical literature. So we knew pretty much everybody from all areas of musical life, and that's the environment in which I grew up.
Pretty incredible. Did you realize it at the time? I would think maybe not.
Not really, because they would come over or we'd go to the studios, and it always seemed like these were just people we all knew. The only time I got totally starstruck was when I met Doris Day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She was my... I was certain that when she sang Secret Love that it was me. I was sure of it. I was 7 at the time.
Mark, would you talk a little bit about what's on the program?
Well, we have... we didn't want the program to get too long, so we spaced out movements and selected certain pieces. We have representative composers, of course, John Williams, Miklos Rozsa, and actually a composer that Leonard had suggested, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, Eric Korngold, Aaron Copland, Nino Rota, and this one is really interesting, Ennio Morricone. Now, you may recognize that name as the man who wrote the themes to the spaghetti westerns with Clint Eastwood in the late 60s. Picturing him on a chamber music program also proves the stretch we referred to earlier, Franz Waxman, and then, of course, these four songs.
And Leonard Slatkin, any of those composers, did you have any kind of relationship personally with them?
Well, most all the ones who lived in Hollywood. I never had the occasion to meet Morricone, although he was, as far as I know, he didn't work in Hollywood. It's possible, but I'm not sure. But all the others we knew on a very familiar basis. John Williams will be represented in this concert by the work he wrote for President Obama's first inauguration, assuming he's not writing one for the second, and that was the work for Yo-Yo and Itzhak and Tony McGill and Gabriela Montero, so we're going to be doing that.
Now, of course, you won't be conducting. You'll actually be...
Oh, well, apparently I will be conducting.
Oh, you will?
Mark wrote me and said, would it be interesting for me to conduct the songs? with the Sinatra style, because it just might make it life a little more easier, and I get to take on the role of Nelson Riddle. That would be fun.
Yeah, but you'll also be at the piano and do a lot of narrating through this as well.
Well, I'll tell some stories about what it was like growing up, what my parents dealt with, and it should be a very wonderful, entertaining evening for everyone.
I think so. Let me ask you a little bit about the Sinatra connection, because I find that really fascinating. As you said, your parents got to know him because they worked with him so many times, and he was a house guest and vice versa.
Yes. We would – well, let's start really with the beginning. Basically, when Sinatra moved to Capitol Records from Columbia, he'd already worked with my dad on some of the Columbia sessions and realized that's who he wanted as his concertmaster. So my father basically played on all the albums on Capitol Records. The only times he didn't play were when he was conducting, and that happened more often than people think. You would see on the covers arranged and conducted by Nelson Riddle, but it turns out Nelson just was not a very good conductor and not particularly efficient. So Capitol Records would arrange to get Nelson out of town, and my dad would take over the sessions. But Sinatra began to rely on my father for every advice he could muster for all these albums, and so they the Sinatras became close with the Slatkins. We spent time at his Palm Springs home, at his Vegas hotel, and Sinatra came to our house. He used to take my brother and me upstairs and sing us to sleep, and Uncle Frank was one of the best friends we ever had.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting to me, because, of course, I just have this, I don't know, impression of him I have in my own mind as, you know, man about town.
A lot of people have the impression that this was somebody who was mob involved and was a very difficult person to deal with. And that's probably true for some people. I think Sinatra best exemplifies the best friend you could ever have and the worst enemy you could ever have.
Well, that makes some sense.
I think
one of the
things that our listeners would be interested in is Leonard had a brand new book released this summer, and in that book, which of course I've read, he talks about a lot of these experiences that he had, and it was a wonderful read.
Yeah, the book is doing very well. It's selling remarkably well. It sold about 7,000 copies, which for a book about music is a lot. So we're working on the movie rights now, of course.
What's the title to that?
It's called Conducting Business.
Mm-hmm.
Good title.
And it certainly is a business, is it not?
Well, it is, and the book is really about three things. It's part autobiography, it's part memoir, but it's also to let the general reader and music lover in on what it takes to be a conductor. How do we study? How do we get into the profession? The world of music director, which then gives me a lot of stories about St. Louis, as well as the time as being an assistant. I talk about being in the opera house. I talk about health issues, of which I've had a couple over the last few years. We talk about labor negotiations, which we've sadly had to deal with both in Detroit and when I was in St. Louis. So it's really a comprehensive look at the industry, at what it takes to do this particularly unusual job.
Hmm. We're talking with Leonard Slatkin and Mark Gordon about Notes from Hollywood, which will be 7 p.m. Monday, January 14th at Sheldon Concert Hall. It is actually a benefit for the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. Without giving away too much, you say through the evening, Leonard, that you tell some stories about some of the composers that you're playing. Mm-hmm. Would you share a little bit with us?
I'll tell you. I don't know if I'll tell it on that evening. We'll see. Of course, obviously, anybody who's listening now will be in on it, but maybe I will. One of my favorite stories concerns a time when I was actually out in L.A. doing a documentary on Korngold for the BBC. I had a lot of fun doing it because I got to visit the sound stages my mom and dad played on. So we were out at Warner's, and I was talking to the archivist of the music library, which is quite substantial out there. They have all the handwritten parts and scores from those great films, especially the ones from Korngold. And the archivist told me this story. He said, one day, Korngold happened to bump into the great film composer Max Steiner, also Austrian. These two guys hated each other. They really didn't like each other. And Steiner turns to Korngold and says, "So, Eric, tell me, how come my music is getting better and yours is getting worse?" And Korngold, without missing a beat, says, "It's very simple, Max. I'm imitating from you, and you're copying from me."
Steve, you know, I think stories like that are what will make this evening so special. And having Leonard's graciousness to share his time and this with us is an incredible experience for our audience to hear the music, as well as, you know, we obviously have some great support from friends at Centene Charitable Foundation and PNC Bank and Town & Style magazine have all been very helpful. So when you put all this package together to hear the music combined with these wonderful stories and the sense of history that Leonard can provide, it's really unusual.
I think people will find out a little more about what Hollywood was and the kind of atmosphere that we had in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that made it so special.
Is it still special?
Not the same way. Of course, it's still special, but much has changed, although I'm pleased to say that the soundstage at 20th Century Fox has remained intact. It was always considered one of the great acoustic wonders, and when they started putting the new technologies in, the one thing they didn't change was the actual soundstage.
Mark, maybe you might want to mention briefly some of the other elements. I think, you know, we were talking
about...
Who
else is playing would be nice.
Yeah, and you're doing a thing on Sinatra, and I know there's a Sinatra-styled singer that's going to be involved, right?
That's right. Tom Heitman is going to join us, and Tom goes around the country singing the Sinatra songbook. And I discovered him from a former colleague who Leonard knows very well, Bob Coleman, who used to be the assistant principal clarinet in the St. Louis Symphony. And Bob had worked with Tom a lot in doing some big band stuff. And we actually started rehearsing this, and it sounds amazing with the original recording was, of course, in mono. But to hear it live will be a spectacular experience.
Oh, we're playing in stereo. You didn't
So we'll be having, the instruments we'll be having are, we'll have a horn and a harp and, of course, the string quartet, bass, piano, oboe. It's going to be a real interesting collection of sounds. And most of them.
So we have all St. Louis Symphony
yes.
players, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize you played the piano. Am I just out of it?
No. I try to keep that a secret. I don't do much piano playing anymore. And for this occasion, my fingers will attempt to come out of retirement.
We're going to look forward to that. Notes from Hollywood. It's Monday the 14th, 7 p.m. at the Sheldon Concert Hall. It's a benefit for the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to the Chamber Society's website. Leonard Slatkin, anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
Well, I'm also there conducting the St. Louis Symphony that week.
Yeah, January 18th and 19th, right?
Yeah. It was supposed to be 3 days, but I needed to get to my other orchestra in Lyon, France. And unfortunately, connections make it a little bit tricky. I've got to start preparing and rehearsing the two Ravel operas, which we're playing not only in Lyon, but we're recording them and then taking them to Paris. So that's, if anybody wonders what happened to the Sunday concert, that's where it went. So I'm doing the Friday and Saturday with a lovely program, a piece by my wife, Cindy McTee, called Double Play, Symphony of Psalms by Stravinsky, and Gustav Holst's Popular Planets.
You know, looking back on your tenure in St. Louis, what did I say it was, 17 years?
Well, 17 years as music director and 10 before that in secondary capacities.
Right. So, good memories?
Oh, yeah. And they're in the book. Conducting Business, published by Amadeus Press and available at bookstores everywhere if you can find one.
Sounds like you've said that before.
Yeah.
Well, go to our website. We'll have a link to all of this and more. Go ahead, Leonard.
No, I'm finished. We're really looking forward to seeing everybody, seeing old friends, making new ones, and particularly doing this very special evening in which I get a chance to celebrate my parents and my youth. And it saves a lot of money in therapy bills.
There you go. That's a benefit right there.
I should say one thing, Steve, that we didn't mention, that Leonard's father, Felix Slatkin, was born in St. Louis.
There you go.
Oh, he was the assistant concertmaster of the orchestra when he was 16 years old.
Right.
Well, this is just part of what you'll hear on Monday the 14th, right?
Yep.
Thank you, Leonard Slatkin, so much for joining us on the phone from Rotterdam. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Mark, I'll see you next week.
Right.
Mark Gordon's been here, too, from the Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. Thank you, Mark, and best of luck on this event.
Thank you so much, Steve. My pleasure.
And coming up next on Cityscape, breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. This is St. Louis Public Radio.